Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Our webcast is Friday, and that will be on the 16th. I can't, the date today is just escaping me. 15th, 14th, 13th, the 12th. So this coming Friday, the 7th, the 16th, starting at 7 o'clock Pacific, is our webcast. In order to view the show as it's being performed, you have to have a backstage pass, and all you have to do to get one of those is to go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, www.philhendryshow.com, click the Listen Live Weeknights banner, and then it will show you how to pick yourself a backstage pass. You just go down to a little box that says, haven't subscribed yet? Click here. You click there, and then you'll see me in a bandana, kind of an Aunt Jemima rig, and I'm saying, sign up for a backstage pass and get instant access. Over 1,500 classic show clips, 30-day show archive, instant MP3 podcast downloads that we've had nothing but complaints about, exclusive videos, and much, much more. Also, you'll see a sample. I remember when we did this. There's a sample of what the webcast might look like, because it's an actual piece of video from a show that we were taping in anticipation of doing our webcast. So this coming Friday night, the 16th, is our third webcast of the Phil Hendry Show, and you can watch it by going to www.philhendryshow.com and getting yourself a backstage pass. Now, I have on the phone here, coming up this hour, by the way, we're going to give away a CD. Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson are taking, apparently General Jameson is going to transport himself into the mind of an advertising executive to find out what's going on, to find out what's going on in there. And there are some hieroglyphics to be read, and you could win yourself a CD this hour from that. And also, a new show, a new feature on a program called Cooking for Just the Two of You with Art Infmore and his sidekick, Sue Ellen Aberdeen. What the hell, dude? Can't you cats just have names like Joe Blow and Mary Blow? How about Mary Blow and Joe 1-800-449-8686. Now, let me get on the phone here. Harvey Wireman. Mr. Wireman, thank you for joining us on late notice. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Jeff Dowd, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, sir.
Okay.
Hold on. I was, my understanding was, are we on the air, sir?
Yes.
All right, I didn't know that I was going to be on with this guy. I wanted to talk to you.
Well, you know, I've got a right to the freedom of the speech.
What's the problem?
The problem is, Mr. Hendry, that I wanted to tell you why I want to file a lawsuit against this guy that is going to make him bleed every time he urinates for years. And now you've got...
See, Mr. Henry, that's the kind of hostility...
Would I be allowed to talk without it talking?
All right, let me give some background. Mr. Dotter, I'm going to put you on hold. Go ahead, Mr. Wireman, because you're right. We failed to tell you that we wanted to get his side at...
I didn't know that he was going to be on with me.
All right, tell me what happened.
What happened was this. I like to go to Disneyland, and I heard you mentioning Disneyland.
Yes, sir.
I enjoy going there by myself. I went on a ride that is called the Haunted Mansion ride. Are you familiar with it?
Yes.
All right. I went on the ride, and I always asked them, please let me have my own car by myself. I don't like to sit with people. And
Tell people the reason for that.
I don't want...
Just tell them.
Because when you go by that one thing that makes it look like there's ghosts sitting with you, it messes it up if there's two other people in the car.
All right.
So I guess that makes me gay, huh?
No, man, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I can hear in the silence of your voice, I can hear you screaming, how gay is that? Now, I went on this car, and they put this guy with me, who proceeds to light up a marijuana joint.
Okay.
I asked the gentleman to put it out. He refused.
Okay.
I got a contact high, or what they call a contact high, and I went over and began to eat cotton candy over here at the Country Bear Jamboree. And I have the tape recording, if I could play that.
Go ahead.
This is recorded, and I taped this because I knew I was stoned.
When you say contact high, this guy...
The guy was smoking the joint right next to me.
In the Haunted Mansion ride?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead.
Now, I got a contact high, and here I am. Three, three. Yeah, this guy's smoking dope. What? I'm stoned, that's why. Give me three. Hey. Get away. Don't take the kid, take mine.
All right, sir. That's $2.
All right. God. I am so PO'd right now. You wouldn't believe this guy. I'm over on the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Give me two blues and a pink one. Two blues and a pink one, yeah. Anyway, this guy, he's smoking a joint.
What are you eating a big... What's with you and a cotton candy? What are you, queer?
I'm not queer. I'm stoned, I told you. God. Bugs me. All right, so that's it.
And boy, you sure do sound tense for a guy that's stoned.
Yeah, well...
All right, Mr. Doubter, did you hear all of that?
Yes, I did, sir.
Do you want to comment?
Yeah, I most certainly do want to comment.
Wait a second. Wait, what is this? Am I doing a round table here? I thought...
Hold on, I want to hear this guy's side.
There is no side. He lights up a joint in violation of California and federal law. I get a contact high. I'm eating cotton candy, and I'm diabetic. Okay?
Yeah, we're listening, man. I mean...
What do you mean, we? What's this we? You got a turd in your pocket? I'm telling you...
Hold, Mr. Wireman, you're going to have to let this guy say what he's going to say.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, my name is Jeff Doubter. I live in Temple City, California. And anyway, I had come in possession of some strawberry kush, which is pretty... I don't know if you're aware of that.
Listen to this jackass. Is this...
Well, can I just let me... Jeff, get to the point. Did you light up a reefer in Haunted Mansion?
Yes, sir, I did. For religious purposes.
Listen to this bullcrap.
Hold on. You lit up a joint.
Yes, sir, I did. At that time, I informed this guy that they had sat it down with me.
No, they didn't sat it me down with you. They put you in with me.
No, I believe I was in my own coffin car, and that's my understanding.
Jesus, this guy is... I bet you he's high right now. And the fact that you put me...
I want to hear his story.
Okay, I got in, and then we went past the dancing ghosts, and I always love to do this, and I always do love it. When you go backwards like you're going down into your grave, that's when I usually spark it. And
does that go along with your recollection?
I don't... What does he mean, spark it?
When he lit the joint.
Yeah, when you go... Yeah, we were going backwards into our grave. And I said to him...
And he used profanity also, which totally harshed the vibe that I was trying to stimulate out. And then...
Can I say something?
Yeah.
As the thing goes back and you're being buried, I enjoy that. And when he lit this marijuana joint, I looked at him. I said, "What in Christ are you doing?" And he said to me, and he looked at me like a real dummy. He had this talk about dumb. And
see how he's judging me and categorizing me. And
well, you did.
Well, I didn't do.
All right, hold on. Forget about what he looked like. So you light up. This gentleman says to you to put it out.
Yeah, he did ask me to put it out, and I told him I would if it wasn't for religious purposes. And
yeah, are you ready for that? He said to me, "Relax." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Because it's..." He said some hippie crap that I don't remember. And I got stoned, and then I walk off this ride. I'm rat-assed, and I go over and I eat cotton candy with a full diabetic coma coming on at about 6 o'clock that night. Now, when I sue you, Mr. Doubter, and I am an attorney, by the way.
Yeah, I believe that, man.
When I sue you... You'll pee blood for a month. And I can tell...
All right, that doesn't solve any problems. First of all, Mr. Doubter, you should not have been smoking marijuana. It's in violation of the law. Secondly, at Disneyland, it's nuts. Third, at the Haunted Mansion, I mean, people stopped doing that 20 years ago. Are you crazy?
Well, I don't really go along with no crowds. I do what I feel is spiritually proper. And another thing, he was really hostile, man. And so I'm blasting... What is probably the finest kush, I mean, the rosin, you know, is it...
Don't tell me about the quality of the weed you're smoking.
Well, the fact is, And you know how those talking gravestones and everything? I laugh until I weep. But because I got grandma here, everything was bad. Everything was bad.
Yeah, everything was bad. Then I get off this ride. I go over. I'm eating cotton candy, candied apples. For an entire day, I'm wandering around with candy apple stain on me.
So you had the munchies, huh?
I'm sorry?
You had the munchies.
You didn't know what that is.
I don't, what do you mean?
You had the freaking, you're eating a lot because you're stoned.
Yes, that's exactly right. I got home. My daughter was there with my grandson. She said I had bits of like candied apple nuts stuck to my face. I had a candy apple stain on the front of my shirt. My hair was disheveled. I had a chocolate streak down my cheek. I had Hershey's wrappers. I was thoroughly embarrassed.
Yeah, well, that still doesn't... I'm out probably about $400 for this ounce of weed.
All right, there's nothing I can do for you there. So you're going to sue him for what?
I'm going to sue him for getting me stoned. And I know that that's never been done, but I'm going to try it.
I'm going to sue you for getting me stoned?
Yes, I didn't want to. He made me.
Oh, yeah, I made you, man. I made you. You didn't smoke any of the weed.
You lit it up in the same coffin car as me.
All right, look, this is going to have to be something that is solved
later. Yeah, solved later on. Yeah, we got to go to a commercial break. Yeah, I get it. That's fine, Mr. Henry, but just remember, you're an accessory by having this guy on, because just listening to him is getting me high.
All right.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, gentlemen. Don't smoke weed, folks, at Disneyland. There's kids there. 1-800-449, and Harvey's there. And he doesn't want to get stoned. That means he's got to go eat candied apples and the blue and pink, what do you call it, cotton candy. All right, coming up, flashback by request, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Falcons leading Philly 14-10. Let's go, Falcons! I am an Atlanta Falcon fan. Only because Jags is there. Coach Jags there on the O-line. Good man. And we're going to go to Atlanta this year, and we're going to watch them play. And I'll stand there on the sidelines as we did in Green Bay. Why? Because we have contacts. Why? I don't know. Anyway, 14-10 Falcon. Ooh, look at that guy's wide open, man. You know, Donovan McNabb, I think Rush Limbaugh was right. I'm kidding. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, let's go to our flashback by request. Phil, can you play a flashback from the call where Bobby Dooley held a town meeting because her best friend's daughter told her a rude joke about an elephant out of a Safeway bag? No effing way. Now, it's a difficult joke to re-explain, and you really don't have to know it, because the phone call that Bobby took from this one caller has more to do with constitutional rights and whether a person can tell a joke or not, especially a kid. Anyway, Isaac says, keep up the comb-over boy jokes. I can't stand that douche. Thanks, Phil. Isaac. Here it is, Isaac. It's Bobby.
Will you please stop calling people stupid? I am offended.
Why?
You shouldn't be saying it.
Why?
It's negative. It's a personal condemnation.
Oh, my God. So what? If the shoe fits.
I'm extremely
offended. Have you ever heard the term, if the shoe fits, wear it? And I'm
apparently, your shoes are extremely negative shoes that harm other people.
You know, you're really all Miss Pollyanna, aren't you? All blissed out. Are you born
again? What's Pollyanna mean?
It means you're all Miss Goody Two-Shoes, born again? Blissed out?
I'm afraid you've got me pegged incorrectly.
Well,
just
then,
like calling other people stupid is pegging them incorrectly.
When you go to a baseball game, don't you boo?
No.
Well, people do boo. You know why? It's called America. Oh, yeah. First Amendment.
Well, that wasn't a bit. What, do you think you scored a big point with that?
Yes, I do, because this lady doesn't think that the Constitution of the America applies to me.
Constitution is the single best thing that ever happened to America.
Unless you call
it applies to all of us that live in America.
Unless you call
why
someone
would you
stupid?
Assume that I don't think it applies to you? There you are assuming again.
Because you won't let me say certain
all
words.
Day long.
You won't let me say certain things. So your name is Robin Adolf Hitler.
You're not letting kids say certain things.
Your name is Robin Hitler.
Robin Hitler.
Wow, I have never been
Heil
called
Robin.
That before. You sound like the Hitler lady.
Heil Robin.
Heil Robin.
You sound like
you know,
the
really.
Big Brother Society
Hi.
That's trying to make everybody have your morals and your ideas.
You know, you're
you are the Homeowners Association. You certainly have a right
you know,
to have
you...
a community that's based on the
oh,
things you
please.
Believe in.
You go to Disneyland, they won't even let you on Space Mountain because you don't come up to the sign. And you're bitter about it. You're bitter about a lot. I know you, Robin. And you know what you look like to me with your good shoes and your bad bag? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustler.
What's a rube?
Rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too much more than two generations removed from poor white trash.
Well,
and oh, how the boys found you, Robin, with all
those
sticky tires bundling for the back seat of the car. When all you dreamt about was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI, and then they told you you were too short.
Stick it.
Yeah, stick it.
She hung up.
Ah, good. I'm glad to hear it. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for letting me on.
You're no problem, Robin. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Always a very wonderful pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. By the way, just a question. How tall are you?
I'm 5'7".
Oh, you're, so you're not... You're, hold on for a minute.
And I'm one of the happiest people I know.
Yeah, hold on for a minute. If this lady hangs up, I don't want her back on the air. Ms. Dooley?
Yes.
I don't want you back on the air when you hang up.
No, I just wanted to point out Robin's sort of quasi-imbecilic laugh. I'm one of the happiest people I know.
Quasi what?
Oh, my God.
What
Robin,
did you say?
Robin,
I didn't understand you.
I said you sound like McBasement.
Sound like a what?
Oh, my God. Is she deaf?
Just say it louder.
Robin, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I said... Robin?
Yes, ma'am?
Okay. What do you have to say to that?
Say what?
Oh, God Almighty, are you listening to me?
I am, but it's very hard to understand what you're
saying. I want to know if you Burslin.
You want to know if I do what?
If you Burslin.
Burslin?
You're joking, right?
Say
no,
it clearly.
Really
there's yeah, she's having a problem
understanding your language.
I want to know if you're Fair Snorvin.
Excuse me?
Can you hear the caller?
You know, I really am having trouble understanding her.
Robin, listen. But it's married.
I think maybe we should stop the phone call because I'm having so much trouble
getting
hearing
some? Are you getting some interference?
All right.
No, I just wanted to know if Robin...
Thank you for
I wanted
on.
To know if Robin Levis Morvin.
Oh, Jesus. What a silly, silly phone call. Anyway, that's our flashback from Bobby Dooley. Bobby and Steve, two people that should not be allowed to live, and yet they do. They're at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. When are they having their fall-tacular, by the way? It's always a good time. This is the Phil Hendry Show, and coming up we have Art Bell and General Johnson Jameson, and an opportunity for you guys to win a CD, a best of 2005. I guess we'll wait for the 2005 CD. Do you want to know? Nah, we'll give away a 2004. And when's that baby going off to the duplicator?
Probably tomorrow.
Cool. And we got to get the artwork done on it. God, everything is so, every year we do the CD, we don't know who's doing the artwork. I don't know. When are we going to? And it's cool. I mean, I'm not complaining. It's always like this. Isn't there like a professional way to do these things? Isn't there somebody who can do it really cool? I don't know. But all the money we raise from the sale of our CD goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood, California. And we would give it to the victims of Katrina, but it seems like everybody's doing that, so I'm sure they're taken care of. And by the way, you'll see, at least up until a couple of hours ago, a banner on my website for disaster relief from Clear Channel, and they mentioned contributing to the American Red Cross. So all that bad stuff I said about the Red Cross last week, just forget about it. Forget I even said it. We also have cooking for just the two of you and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget our webcast on Friday, 7 o'clock, our third Phil Hendry Show webcast. Got to have a backstage pass. You get it from our website, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What am I doing? Oh, I know what I was going to do. I had this thing here. a plane, you know, crashed into the Empire State Building. Because guys are talking about the 9/11 stuff they saw yesterday on TV. I didn't watch any of it for some reason. I don't know. Well, but it was a tough weekend. I think I was playing Madden 2005 and watching football. In other words, I was doing nothing constructive whatsoever. All right. Way to do it, Phil. Way to really contribute to this society. Anyway, a plane that weighed 10 tons struck the Empire State Building in 1945, and the high-octane gasoline fire quickly flamed out after 35 minutes. When the firefighters walked up to the 79th floor, most of the fire had dissipated. The Empire State Building, in the opinion of most fire chiefs in New York, is the most fire-safe building in America. I was trying to comparing it to what happened on 9/11. And the other thing about that building, the World Trade Center, is like all of the support of that building is the exterior of it, or was. The interior girders, the interior supports of most buildings that you see manifest when you're walking through an office and there's suddenly a column sitting there and you walk and there's another one there. That's sort of a traditional building. But the World Trade Center was built differently, that the outside of the building was the major support so that you had these huge spaces for offices. And as the guy said on that one thing you're watching, Harry, the guys that designed that building, the thing they tested for was wind. You know, I mean, how far a building is going to sway. They never, ever decided to test, hey, let's say a plane loaded with fuel. I mean, maybe they should have. I don't know. But they didn't. And maybe he, wait a minute, maybe it's Bush's fault. No, so I'm kidding around. I don't want anybody to get tense.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, Henry?
Relax. Although I think Bush should have, you know, called the guys that built the World Trade Center when he was, say, how old would he have been? Well, let's see, he's about 6 years older than me. He would have been at that time 22, and he should have said, you know, I'm probably going to be president someday, I'm not sure, but given the fact that this may be something that's important to me, have you guys tested that building in terms of jet fuel, flaming jet fuel? Oh, no, we haven't. Who the hell are you? George Bush. I never heard of you. Bug off. I knew a porn star by that name. Well, that's very funny. But someday, man, I may be president, and they're gonna roast me for this one, dude. For what? For a cat flying a plane into the thing. Are you nuts, you jackass? Get off my phone. I'm telling you. Test it for jet fuel. Otherwise what? They'll blame me. Blame you. And so anyway, you know, obviously no sane human being, I guess, now engineers will, I'm sure, take that into consideration. But that was the support of the Empire, of the rather the World Trade Center, the very unique way that it was structurally designed. The other thing about the World Trade Center, the guy that they hired to be the architect was an Asian American, a guy living in Detroit, who up to that point had designed very ornate looking opera houses and things. Now, a lot of us have seen when the World Trade Center was destroyed and it was in there in the pit. You remember all that kind of mesh looking metal? Well, that was really that guy's sort of design. That's the way he designed things. And that was part of this exterior support, the kind of exterior support the World Trade Center had. So here is this building designed by a guy that nobody's ever heard of. And it opens in 1970, whatever it was, three, and it is an immediate failure. They cannot rent the office space. The country is in a recession. It's the biggest freaking boondoggle. It's an eyesore. People can't stand the look of it. It actually usurped or took the place of a very vibrant neighborhood down there in downtown, although it was really a neighborhood of shoe stores and thrift shops. But there was a group of businessmen down there that really didn't want the World Trade Center going in, and they ripped out some very historic buildings to put it in. So here's this thing. It's not doing well. All of a sudden, that guy comes from France and does the high wire act. And he walks on this high wire, and he gets the attention not only the whole city, but of the country. And suddenly, the World Trade Center's on a map just like that. Now, this guy, his name is, I forget his name, Philippe something. All those frogs are named Philippe. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say that, but you know what I'm saying. They're all Jacques or Philippe or something. Now, really, he seemed like a very, very sweet guy. He said he saw this World Trade Center in a magazine, and he said, I knew what I had to do. Because the guy's like one of these high wire freaks. He said, I knew what I had to do. He says, and the guy's speaking French. He's, I tore the page from the magazine. I put it in my coat. I ran from the office. I knew that I had to have my teeth filled. He was in a dentist's office. But you can get your teeth filled anytime. But my dream was with me. So now this guy comes to the States, and he falls in love with the World Trade Center. And the way the guy described it, he said, I would look at those buildings, and they were alive to me. He said, I could hear them crying. Sometimes they would cry, and sometimes they would laugh. And sometimes they were hungry, and sometimes they were lonely. You know, this guy. So he does this high wire act, and it gets the whole imagination of the city, gets the whole imagination of the country, and slowly the World Trade Center becomes a place where people go. They begin to rent out the office space, and becomes not goes from being an eyesore and a thing that people hated to a beloved landmark that people could not imagine downtown without those two buildings. And naturally, some raghead had to fly a plane into him. But it was really kind of neat. Anyway, that's a real trip, man. If you hear the history of those buildings and how everything came about, you know, and the struggles that the people had to go through to get them built, and the guys that trying to get the office space filled and finally getting it filled. And then, of course, Windows in the World became one of the must-go places, one of the must-see restaurants in New York. You had to go there. Waiting list for months to get into that place. So it goes from being this thing that's a huge mistake, never should have done it, to a beloved, beloved landmark. And partly, if not most of the reason, because this French guy came over here and did this high wire act. You know, I always rip on the frogs, but I tell you something, man, there's some kind of a thing with them in America. They're always kind of rushing to our aid with something cool, like the Statue of Liberty or a high wire act or some wacky thing, you know? They're like some kid brother that you want to smack around, but they always follow you. You know, they're always giving you crap, and you want to smack them around, but they're okay. It's like England is our younger brother who's the stiff upper lip one, is going, yes, sir, whatever you want to do. Right, okay, yeah, that's good. And then France is the kid brother that's like that smart ass. What? What do you want?
I don't know. I want to go back to the theater.
You little... All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
Inside the mind of an advertising executive, and
why does it sound like the beach?
Well, there's a lot of booze floating around in here. Jesus, this guy drinks. It's just like freaking surf here, man. It's like a tsunami. Oh, excuse me. Art, I'm seeing the hieroglyphics now. If your listeners can help me decipher what these words are, what the words are in this hieroglyphic, they could win a Phil Hendry CD.
Well, that is wonderful. I don't know why I'm promoting his program on my Coast to Coast program, but I suppose Phil can use all of the pub he can get, especially when I have six times the affiliates he has.
Word.
And what are you seeing?
All right, your listeners, do they have their pen and pencils ready?
If they know how to write, if you know how to write, please write down the letters that General Jameson will be giving you in the sequence that they will be falling.
That's correct. Now, letter number 28 is T.
Letter 28 is T.
Letter number 1 is A.
Letter 1 is A.
Letter number 25 is a C. A C as in your mother is a...
I got it. All right, so we have letter 28 is a T, letter number 1 is an A, and letter 25 is a C, correct?
That is correct. Now, letter number 5 is an R.
Letter 5 is an R, as in what?
I don't know. As in what? Radish. What a jackball.
All right.
Man, Bell, you know, you're really pushing with me, don't you?
Go ahead.
Letter number 18 is an I.
Letter 18 is an I.
Letter number 14 is an H. Letter 14 is an H, Art. Art. Hello, Art.
I'm here. I'm just, right, I was just picking some nose hairs. Just noticed some when you grow a mustache.
Yeah, it's nice.
All right. Letter 14 is an H.
That's correct. Letter number 15 is an O.
Letter 15 is an O.
Letter number 3 is a G.
Letter 3 is a G. How many letters are in this?
I don't know. I don't know. It could go on all night. This could be the Jerry Lewis telephone. This could be the new Wheel of Fortune.
All right, next.
Letter number 10 is an A. Letter 10 is an A.
Letter 10 is an A.
Letter number 7 is an H. Letter 7 is an H.
Letter 7 is an H.
Letter number 20 is also an H. Art. H. What does that remind me of? H, 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 H. Heroin?
Huh. All right. Letter 20 is an H.
Letter 19 is an N.
I wonder why we can't just do this all in sequence.
I don't know. I don't know that at all. I'm in another dimension. I'm in an advertising executive's head. I'm swimming in booze here. Letter number 12 is an O.
Letter 12 is an O. Letter 12 is an O.
Letter number 17 is an E.
17 is an E.
Letter number 21 is an I.
Letter 21 is an I. Woo! I, as in the mystic eye?
Blow it out your ass. Now,
All right, hold on. We have to take a break here from Peeman Enterprise. Well, how are we going to get a winner? I guess we won't have a winner tonight.
No, we'll just have to hold it over. You mean I got to stay in this guy's brain all night?
I'm afraid so.
What a douche.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Folks, Art Bell has left, and General Johnson Jameson is still stuck in the mind of that advertising executive. But now he has told me that they're going to start it all over again tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, Art will be back with General Johnson Jameson, and they will read off the hieroglyphics all over again. Those of you who are listening tonight will have a head start.
See?
Eh? So, you know, it's kind of a cool deal there. A little bit of a kind of a head start for you. Huh? I got some listener email here. This one says, Dear Phil, a potential idea for a bit maybe involving Jay Sanis or Bob Green. I overheard a conversation involving the geographic placement of some of the flood victims here in wonderfully hot San Antonio. Now, the center of the conversation revolved not from the fact that some of these poor displaced people are being helped with assistance and housing and clothing, but the fact of where they're being temporarily housed. One of the areas of temporary housing, 4 months of paid apartment living, is in a middle to upper class neighborhood here in San Antonio on the outskirts of the north side of this fair city. I've heard complaints of crime, difficulties in sharing the schools, and laziness. Nice. I live about 15 minutes from this area, and I play at the Muni course about once a month. Yeah, sure, Chris, you're probably a rich ass, just like the people that are complaining. Now, I'm kidding. Anyway, it should be interesting reading about how the neighborhood's helping care for the many needy folks respond to their plight, especially once the 4 months pass, and it should pass quickly. What, did they never leave? Keep doing what you're doing, because it makes my day, Chris. Yeah, we'll find out how it goes there in fair San Antonio. I'm sure everybody is going to get along just fine. Phil Hendry Show, see you. Don't forget the webcast Friday night.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.